This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello everybody and welcome along to this week's edition of the Sky Blues Extra podcast, kindly brought to you by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. Dean here, once again in control of the buttons on this week's podcast. Alongside me, I've got David. Good evening, David.
Hello mate, all right?
All good, thank you. And Ross is back with us. Ross, how are we?
I'm back, yeah. Good evening, Dino, David, hope you're both well.
Well, nobody can see this, but Ross has just got a T-shirt on and his guns are flexing this evening. So,
gives you
a little picture of what I'm seeing at the moment.
I've got to try and compete with you, Dino, those sort of first-class flights and everything, you know.
There's no guns on me, unfortunately. But there might be a few first-class flights coming up, which might be quite nice.
So you don't mix the two together, you'll be all right.
Yeah, that could spell disaster. And there's a few golfers who've have definitely gone down that wrong path, shall we say? But that's for another podcast and for another day. Obviously, going to talk about the two games this week. It's a classic Coventry City week, wasn't it, chaps? Forest come away with absolutely nothing after playing well. Heads were down in the Sky Blue Army camp, that was for sure. Heading into Fulham, I don't think anyone gave us a bit of a chance. And then all of a sudden we put on one of the performances of the season and come away with all 3 points. Dave, I'll come to you first. What's your thoughts on this week?
Yeah, I think Forest was a bit of a disappointment. But I also think going away from home midweek at Forest is always going to be a tough gig. And actually, I think performances have improved of late. I think we looked decent at Forest for large spells. There was just areas of the game that we got wrong. And what can you say about yesterday? You know, we weathered the storm on occasions, but you're not going to play a team that are at that end of the table, have scored that many goals and not have chances against, you know, and we did really, really well to keep them out. And yeah, they got the one, but I think there were some fine saves, some much more inspired defending, I think, where it felt like at times people were putting their bodies on the line, running through brick walls. And at times, I don't think we had that at Forest, and we certainly didn't have that at things like Hull at home. So, I think it's been a really good display. You know, the win was amazing, of course, but the loss, it wasn't a nature of a shocking loss. It was just, I thought we still played well.
I know, Ross, when we spoke last podcast last Sunday, our heads were a little bit down, weren't they, heading into the week? And we kind of said we needed 6 points this week. And obviously losing to Forest wasn't ideal, but then to bounce back straight away against Fulham, you know, the class side in this division, I would say, just shows the type of mentality we've got at the club.
Yeah, exactly. And we've showed that all season. We the ability to sort of bounce back after disappointments. And when we spanked Fulham at home, that was on the back of the 5-0 defeat to Luton. You know, so we responded well earlier in the season against Fulham, and we did again this weekend. And I think we both felt, didn't we, last week, that had we beaten Blackburn, we you know, 4 points might have been enough from these two. But obviously, failing to beat Blackburn, we know we needed six. But you know, three we'd have probably taken, but it would have been the other way around. I don't think any of us fancied going to Fulham, and that being the game that we actually do win, particularly away from home, because our away form, you know, it's been better this season than last, but it's still not been sort of, you know, it's not been sort of top six, top eight, sort of in the league away form. But it was a great way to respond. And like David said, I actually think the result on Wednesday was disappointing, obviously being there sort of live. But I thought the performance, you know, well, there wasn't much to be disappointed about performance-wise. It was just the result. And then obviously we sort of, I think Mark Robbins alluded to it, the difference between Wednesday and you know, Sunday was that we took our chances. You know, when we got into these positions, we did actually put the ball in the back of the net, which is what we didn't do on Wednesday. And had we done that, we could be sat here talking, you know, about a very different week, really, you know, with an extra couple of points on the board.
I'm going against the general consensus with this Forest game, because I know we created chances and we created a couple of gilt-edged chances, but we do that every week. I still don't think we played to our ability on Wednesday evening. I think there was something missing. I didn't think there was much link-up play. That's just my opinion. I mean, talking yesterday to a lot of people, they're saying I'm talking absolute nonsense.
Well, I think people will think that it was not so much negative, but it was more of a back foot performance, I'd say. I don't think we're sort of in their faces the same way that we have been against teams this season. I don't think our play had that sort of pace to it and pressure and all of that that goes with that. But I don't know. I thought it was okay, but I can see what you're saying, that we didn't sort of have that same swagger, I guess, as our play. But then, you know, I think the pressure was quite on, wasn't it? Going away from home, it's midweek. You don't want to concede. That does force you into a bit of a more negative defensive sort of performance, I guess.
Definitely felt pressurised. I don't. What was the atmosphere like at the ground, Ross?
It was a great atmosphere. Forest, you know, for a sellout, and everyone, the media, you know, have already got them promoted, sort of thing. You know, I expected a partisan crowd. The Sky Blue Army completely outsung them from start to finish, even at 1-0 down. And then when we conceded the second, for about 4 or 5 minutes,
Four or five minutes,
sort of, they sort of cheered and sang a couple of songs. And then they went quiet again. And I remember, you know, the people I was with, I remember when we beat Peterborough 3-0 earlier in the season at the CBS, and we went, I think, second in the league. And that was back in October with still another 30 games to play or so. And it was absolutely rocking, nonstop, you know, singer's corner, always singing from minute one to minute 95, 96, whatever it might be. I thought the Forest fans were really poor, considering where they were going into that game with the games in hand, playoffs, you know, all but certain for them, the way they're playing. And that's why I sort of disagree with, in terms of the performance. I think with everything that they had going for them and the, you know, the way they've brushed teams aside this season, especially at the City Ground, I actually think we did impose ourselves quite well early on. And I thought, you know, Vic, we had some great chances at 0-0, and I felt, and we'll get onto the goal, but I felt that they were anxious. I felt it was the quietest I've seen Jed Spence and Brennan Johnson in a long time. Their fans in the atmosphere, in the ground, it felt like they were thinking, you know, there could be trouble here. And I think if Vic, you know, again, we talk about it every single week, our inability to sort of hit shots sort of with great conviction. But I think if we had scored before their goal, it was all us. Honestly, that was their first attack of the game. So I felt like we were on the front foot. You know, I've been to City Ground in the past under Coleman and these other eras, and I've always just felt like we've been waiting to get beat. I didn't feel like that. I actually felt like we imposed ourselves. And you got to take in consideration the opposition. You know, Forest have been flying. So I think to do what we did, it was a really positive display. And I know what you're saying, but I think we, against Hull, I, you know, when a team down there, it's a different story. But I think to go to Forest and play how we did and actually unsettle them, they were giving the ball away and we just didn't punish them. And had we taken the lead, I think the atmosphere would have even gone even quieter than it already was.
It's mad how we have different opinions, isn't it? Not just like overall, but you being there to me watching on TV, it just feels different. I suppose it was the same yesterday. It was probably that 20-minute period early in that second half where you could feel the tension in the crowd, our crowd for sure, and it sort of merged onto the players a little bit because we were on the back foot for a little period. But then I've spoken to people who watched yesterday's game on TV and said, "Oh, we just looked like we were in control for the whole game." It's really weird how
it's different. It is different. It is very different, I think, being there live and watching it on the screen. It's so much. Yeah, you bang on. Obviously, I had to watch it yesterday on TV. You were there live, and obviously Wednesday it was vice versa. So it's sort of, you get a different feel in the ground, don't you, of what's happening. And I just felt on Wednesday, I felt like we were just putting the ball in the back of the net away. And we got into, I always say it every single week, but if Forest had, if they got into the positions that we did, Jamie Allen, O'Hare in the second half, Jokeres in the first half, they're putting those chances away, no doubt about it. And if we had done that, I think we could have definitely got something out of the game, you know, against Forest, but obviously it wasn't to be.
Let's go into a little bit more detail then. Let's start with the team, the lineup. It was always going to be one away from home, as we tend to do under Mark Robbins in the Championship this season. But it was a surprise to see Dabo playing left back, Ross. But going up against Jed Spence, who's been one of the standout performers this season, that was an inspired choice to play Dabo there because probably his best game this season, I thought. Oh.
Defensively, 100%. I mean, that right, whole right side of Forest, you've got Johnson ahead of him and Jed Spence. I think it was an inspired decision from Mark Robbins because I think he clearly was worried about Mattson. And I think defensively, he's been open at times for us. So obviously, Kane came back in on the right, Dabo moved over to the left. And I agree. I thought Dabo was fantastic. And obviously, again, you know, we'll talk about Fulham shortly, but Blackburn, he had a better game. And again, on Wednesday night, I thought it was his best defensive performance. Honestly, I don't think he... You know, I know Brendan Johnson scored, but I genuinely don't think they got past him once.
He wasn't in the game.
No, he wasn't. Neither of them were.
I was really surprised, actually, because even like Brendan Johnson being further up the pitch, you could bypass Dabo's position, but he still wasn't in the game at all. It was really weird, and it's probably the worst performance he's had this year, but still got a 7.1 on the Who Scored rating, so I'm not too sure, probably because of the goal outweighs everything else.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it must be that. And obviously, yeah, the media just have a massive love-in with Forest at the moment. So, you know, they just rate all their players higher for some reason. But Dabo was brilliant. Honestly, you know, we've seen Jed Spence this season getting all the plaudits, rightly so, against Leicester in the Cup and these other games. He's absolutely torn the left-back to shreds. And Dabo stood up well. And that was his best defensive performance. And in terms of the team, obviously, Ben Sheath came back in. And like you say, we always go one up top. And obviously that was Matty Godden was the surprise omission. There always seems to be one from the team. You know, the team sheet comes out and we go, we didn't hear anything about it. And all of a sudden he's not even on the bench. He's just not in the squad. And obviously as it's transpired, I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but he looks like he's going to be out for the season. So one up top, Ben Sheath coming back in and Allen and O'Hare in the box. It was pretty much straightforward. And obviously Kane coming back in for his first game in a while as well.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the comparisons to how he set up yesterday to Fulham, and that's probably a discussion we'll talk about during the Fulham game and how different we sort of set up tactically, especially in that first half yesterday. Dave, let's talk about early in this game. We did have a couple of chances, didn't we? O'Hare probably had the gilt edge one where the keeper was off the line, but just lacked that conviction with the chip.
Yeah, it was it's still quite far out, wasn't it? And it is the keeper being halfway house almost gave him an instinctive chip, but they're difficult to get right. But actually, yeah, maybe just put your foot on it and see what, you know, can you go around the keeper? Can you try and put it round him? But I suppose when you react like that, it's probably the most natural of instincts. And like you said, so O'Hare had that chance. I thought Allen got into the box. I think was it twice in that opening period. One was a better opportunity than the other. But I think that's it. And you know, I came in for a bit of stick on Twitter about Allen.
No, I don't
but
believe that.
I do think that, yes, you can run around as much as you want and you can put pressure on players, but if we are trying to aim for the playoffs and the players that are helping to contribute to that, then we do need to start seeing a few goals from midfield. And we're not saying that they need to be scoring every week and be worldies, but in that position, I think Twice probably could have done more to have threatened the keeper. And I just think it is a glorious opportunity to get in there, and great to spot it, but we've got to start putting them away. And I was just a bit disappointed, because I think, yes, you can run around and you can do a lot, but you know, when you get into those opportunities, other teams, like Ross said, are scoring those. And that's the difference. Had we have imposed ourselves on the game by scoring earlier on, it makes, you know, it sounds very obvious to say, but I do think, I agree with Ross, I think Forest would have been rattled. I think they almost had pressure, which is weird, because they've been, you know, you look back through their fixtures, they beat Reading, I think, 4-0. They had another few games where they put four goals past people. And I just think they'd come on the back of that. I think they'd lost. I think it was like all wins and a draw coming into the game. And I just think if we had have scored early on and we had those chances, I think we probably would have made it a bit more of a difficult night for them.
I think, well, from what you're saying there, and obviously that tweet you put out, I think that's kind of shadowed my thoughts on the game, in regards to we just seem to do a lot of running around, and that's where I don't think there was just not a lot of conviction, and probably that's why I don't feel like it was one of our best performances. But it's interesting with the Jamie Allen talk, because yesterday against Fulham, it was completely opposite. He had that conviction. Okay, he didn't score, but he was playing some really nice passes in great positions, always up in that front final third of the pitch as well. And that's kind of also what you want to see from him at times too.
Yeah, right? I thought at times his passing on against Forest was off. You know, some of the passes, like you know, 10-yard balls, which are usually bread and butter for him, was seemingly becoming a bit difficult. And I just think, yeah, look, players have bad games. I've just felt it over the last couple of games that he just, yes, it's not enough just to run around, is it? When you're you know, paying professional footballers, they've got to add something else to the game. And don't get me wrong, he has, and he's had a terrific season. I think he's probably been one of the, you know, if we all used to get the awards at the end of you know, when we were youth football. And there was always the most improved, which was a fit of her. But he'd be looking at like a player that would get that perhaps again this season. You know, Ben Sheaf would be another one, I'd say. But, you know, if there was such a most improved, you'd have to say that it was Jamie Allen. But just think the last couple of games he's lacked his sort of usual self a little bit. But yeah, again, yesterday he made up for that and more.
So after that early dominance in this game, obviously we went 1-0 down. Of course we do. We're Coventry City. That's what happens. Ross, do you want to talk us through this goal? It was a little bit of a calamity in the end, wasn't it? Especially with Jake Bidwell. I'm not too sure what he was trying to do with the clearance.
Well, yeah. I mean, as you say, how many times have we been here this season, you know, being well on top in games against teams in the playoffs? And then you stood there in the ground, and before you know it, you 1-0 down, and it was... Yeah, I mean, they didn't deserve it at all. It genuinely was their first attack. And it all started really with Todd Kane, who I thought had a poor game on Wednesday night. I think it showed that he'd been out. I thought when he had the ball, he wasn't very offensive. And then defensively, he loses his runner. And it's a simple pass. It was the first time they sort of had picked up the loose ball or the second ball in midfield. And they had it, you know, 30 yards out or whatever. And he slipped in this pass. But he's just not watching the runner, Todd Kane. And then I think it's Cole back, pulls the ball back. And I don't think it's a great ball across the 6-yard box. And I actually think Bidwell, I mean, it was one of those, I always say this, you know, the opposition will always score the chances we miss, but we are never scoring that goal in a month of Sundays. No. We are never getting that rubber the green. And
it
bobbles 100%. And it, you know, he sort of blocks it. I actually think he defends it quite well, but then it hits the post and someone gets jammed between him and the post. And then Moore comes out from my angle. I was on the other corner. I thought Moore, maybe he's tipped it out for the side netting, but obviously it's gone in. And it all just stemmed from just not dealing with that simple through the ball initially. Kane, if he watches his runner, he can potentially stop the cross. But it was just one of those where you just thought, that's the look, that's the sort of purple patch that Forest are on, that they're winning games and they're getting that rub of the green. Maybe that we got earlier on in the season with, you know, when we were on our good run, and Forest are just hitting their strap sort of thing. And they got that good fortune. It was a really poor goal. And I was just sort of stood there, arms folded, wry smile, thinking, here we go again, you know. But it was one of those where you know, when we played Hull and these games, the odd game here and there this season, we've been really poor and we've gone 1-0 down. You're sort of there and you're going, well, you know, it's been coming. But when we're on top, and it's happened so many times where we've been dominating games, and I honestly felt like we were dominating. I thought Hamer was running the show, Alan Hamer, the energy, and Ben Sheaf, I thought had a really good game. And then all of a sudden, it just seemed so easy and simple, you know, that, oh, their first attack, and it's a goal. And obviously the way it just went in was so sort of clunky as well. So it was disappointing.
Can't say Jake Bidwell defended that well, though, surely.
No, I felt like he read the ball. The blame for me goes on Todd Kane. I think he has to watch the runner. When the ball comes across, I think he...
But we were behind, weren't we? Behind the game, like once that had gone, that passage play, like we were really like behind the ball. Everyone was trying to rush to make up, and you're diving in left and so. I think, you know, you've got to look at Hamer, who doesn't dive out of a tackle, but he tries to do that sort of, you know, what he does, where he just tries to nick it away from a player rather than actually, you know, physically tackling someone sometimes, which when he gets away with it, it looks great. But otherwise, that it just looks like that. Ben Sheaf had all the time seemingly to do something about his man. He kind of just was in a difficult position, didn't want to bring him down. But then the ball's gone out wide. And from that point, we're just playing catch up, weren't we? And you're right. No one tracked their runners, but we didn't really track runners all night, sadly. That's why it was 2-0. But yeah, you're right. It was just it really poor way to concede. But it just felt to me that we were playing catch-up as soon as that ball in the middle of the park
broke down. But when I say Bidwell defended it well, I mean, he's the only one who actually got in the right position like to defend it. I mean, if he had been off his runner, Johnson would have just tapped it into the back post anyway. I just think the way it all transpired from the moment he sort of chested it, I don't know whether he should have probably just knocked it out for a corner, but I think it did just seem to get trapped between him and the post, and then more sort of,
well,
I don't know.
His left foot hits his right foot, which is a trailing leg at the time.
Yeah.
But he lacks conviction with clearing with the left foot to begin with. And you're like, I mean, what are you doing, bro? Just get rid.
It was a combination. I mean, it was incredibly unfortunate. And I just thought it was so avoidable. But like, David, you bang on, even before that pass, which Kane didn't track his runner, you're right. In midfield, that was a moment where we did just seem to give him too much space. You were right about that. So that whole little passage, that was the first time in the game it had felt like, you know, Forrest had picked up the ball in a dangerous position. And then lo and behold, we're 1-0 down to a most ridiculous sort of finish at the back post as well. And we're never scoring that. So then you're behind and you're thinking, yeah, you know, you're sort of wondering how we're behind, you know.
And even after that, I thought Forest were kind of in the ascendancy. Obviously, with the goal, it kind of happens. They get a G up. Obviously, that happens in football. But it seems to me like we get these periods of dominance and then the opposition score inevitably and they take control of the game. And then we come out for the second half and then we take control of the game or vice versa. And then we have like these 20, 25-minute periods of time. And it just seems to be happening the whole way through the season. Can you put a finger on that, Ross? Is it concentration levels or is it when something goes against us, then the heads go?
I think it's a bit of that. I remember Blackburn away. We seem to do that thing where, like, you bang on, we're dominating the game. We concede one and then suddenly we look like we concede another one or two in within the next 5 minutes. And we suddenly, it's like we lose the ability. Everyone loses their ability. And it felt like that a bit. But then the second half, you know, we sort of like we regroup and then we come out almost a different side again. And we were well on top again. I mean, what I'll put it down to? Probably concentration. And I think maybe that we've got that ability in the team to sort of come back from adversity in the second half. But I think in the game, in those moments, we struggle to wrestle back that momentum. You know, we felt it against Blackburn and we spoke last week in the second half. They score early on. And then for the whole of the half, you're thinking, who's going to take responsibility to actually take that momentum back? Is that Robbins or is that someone on the pitch? I think that's where we lack. I mean, once we get to half time, when we've been behind in games or whatever, we regroup and then we come out and we're the dominant side. But within those halves, like you say, and it happened both halves against Forest, we were on top, they score, and then suddenly you're thinking, oh, and then we just lose our way a little bit, our heads drop a little bit. I think you're right with that.
Any thoughts on that, Dave?
No, it just never really felt, once that goal went in, it never really felt to me that we were going to have enough to like, you know, get back, to be honest. It did, it almost felt inevitable that we were going to slump to a loss. And it, maybe that's just like, it's different, like you say, when you were there at the ground versus watching it at home on TV. But I just felt we've seen it all so often when we've gone away to a tricky place on a midweek, and we just don't seem to have that same fire or that same sort of energy, and you know, that we do either at home or perhaps on the weekends as well. But it just felt to me that it sort of stunk of like Preston away last year, or like I think Borough this season away from home, or I'm trying to remember, but it just, yeah, it had feelings of that really for me.
And it seems to be the case where, like what Ross was saying there, or sorry, as you were saying there, with different games this season, we have to scrap our way to a win in midweek if we get one, like the Blackpool game, for instance, at the start of the season, you know, backs against the wall early there, early in the season for the majority of that game. We never seem to do it easy in midweek.
Yeah, I don't know what that it is. I don't think we didn't have the same tempo, I don't think, on Wednesday night that we had. I'm not saying that people weren't busy and weren't running around, but I can't put my finger on it. It's not a negative performance. It just feels a bit more defensive and a little bit more apprehensive, and you know, no real conviction that they can probably get a win. And even things like, you know, Bristol City, great win, wasn't it? You know, but was hard fought. You know, like you say, we've never really like hammered a team away from home on a midweek, from what I can remember, and look really sort of ultra confident.
Must be the floodlights or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, the apprehension comes in defensively, I think. I think I do agree. I think in the second half and the second goal, which we'll talk about, comes from defensive apprehension. But after the game, I'm there thinking, we are just that little clinical edge away of going one or two up against Forest in the first 20 minutes, like Hull did to us, and they'd have been shell-shocked.
Yeah,
we were in control. Like in those moments, because you're not going to dominate a game, especially away from home, against a team who's flying and you know, dispatching everyone with ease, we didn't make it easy for them. And when we're on top, we have to take our chances. And the moment we didn't, and then they go up and have their first attack and score this sort of scrappy goal, I agree that at that moment it does feel inevitable. But we're not that far away from, you know, being a team who can go 100% away to a team like that and scoring a couple of goals and being on top. And then suddenly Forest fans would have been, you know, shell shot sort of thing. But that's the margins, isn't it? And obviously on Sunday against Fulham, we did put the ball in the back of the net. But yeah, we have to.
How many times did we last season do the you know, the end of the game to video on the lives? And how many times did we just? The games just seemed to pass us by. There'd be 60, 70 minutes where you couldn't even remember anything happening. We were like struggling to squeeze out an hour of live, weren't we?
Hey, now, come on.
Discuss the game.
Easy.
Come on now. We always push to an hour.
So it's markedly different, isn't it, from last season, where actually you always feel that we'll create a chance, or, you know, even before the game, you go into games now thinking, well, actually, we'll create chances. Yeah. We will have shots on target, you know, without mentioning the whole XG and all of that. But it's true. Whereas last season, we didn't have anywhere near that. So it's been a markedly improvement. And I just think, yeah, like you say, the next level is taking those chances, isn't it?
Don't really want to get into the XG kind of things, because I just think it's an absolute horror of a stat. If I'm honest, I just don't believe in it, to be honest, in regards to, you know, what teams are playing well or not by expected goals. Nothing's expected in this game, is it? Let's be honest.
Well, I after the game, I remember looking at, you know, sort of the XG for, you can look at the certain chances, and there was game, you know, when you're there live and you see it and you see how far out O'Hare is in the second half to pull one back with 15 minutes to go, I'm thinking, if he just doesn't wait that half second, all he has to do is hit it, not the goalie, and it's goal. And the XG were trying to claim that was like a ridiculously low chance of scoring. I'm thinking, what game are you watching? Because when you're there and you see that someone's 6 yards out in that element, I don't know. Yeah. I agree. I think it's a bit rubbish, to be honest. You know, but yeah, it's one of those.
I'm conscious that it just sounds like we're moaning here. So let's try and wrap this Forest game up, because we've got better things, obviously, to talk about with Sunday's performance. So let's just talk quickly about the second goal for Garner. A calamity of errors again. You know, it seems to be that when we make mistakes, we are punished, and we were punished in the middle of the park. I think it was Davis who played the ball through, and it was a simple finish, really. And I think Simon Moore really committed early, didn't he, Dave, to going down for, down to his left side, and the ball went to his top right.
Yeah, well, the first thing, it comes from Dabo. So he just, like, dinks it to try and put pass it to Jamie Allen. But it's not even on. I don't know what he's trying to do. Do go back and watch it if you get a chance, because he just sort of dinks it. And then that they pick up the ball from there. It's them fizzed into feet. We're not tight enough. There's a lot of times this season where we're just not tight enough. I don't understand it when... I understand about having that gap between the goal and you know the player and having a halfway house so that they can run on. But at times when you know a player is going to get a ball into feet, be on his touch. You've got someone behind you. They're not going to spin you on the first touch. If they do, great. Class bit of skill. See you later. Fine. But we were just... We were so close, so slow to shut him down. Higham, this was, who's nowhere near him. So then he has a chance then to stand him up and look to either go past him. He obviously nutmegs him. And then from there, you're again playing catch up. Todd Kane sliding in at some, or trying to come back from, you know. But we should have reacted even when that ball broke down. Dabo, even from that pass, we should have reacted and got bodies behind. We didn't, and you're playing catch up. And yeah, it's a good finish. You know, it's from a close to the goal. So he's, you know, he's absolutely hammered it, to be fair. And I think he's just sort of wrong footed, Simon Moore, isn't he? And he's sort of waved at it and tried to get a glove on it, but it was travelling, to be fair.
And if Hoyam stands just up to Davis, you know, Hamer covers the run from Garner. But because Hamer tries to cover Hoyam's mistake and go to the ball, then Garner's got that free running behind. So
and
it's those
the
intricate
thing.
Things,
he steamed into the box. You know, who's tracking that? You know, Kane's not slow. You've got, like you say, Hamer was out of position, but they're sort of just, they bomb forward, and it's always ugly for me to see players bombing past yours, because it's like, they're desperate to get in the box and score, and you think, well, at 1-0, right up to the end of the game, you've got a chance. But once that goes in, it's night-night Vienna, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. And that was all she wrote for Forest. As I said, let's not dwell on it too much. Let's get him a couple of man of the match performances from the Sky Blues. We'll start with you, Ross.
Ben Sheaf, I thought he was great to see him back in, and I thought he had a good game, Ben Sheaf, for me.
And David?
Yeah, I agree, actually. I think Ben Sheaf had a really good game. You know, he was at fault perhaps for the first goal, but generally I think he looked really, really strong, and he's really grown, isn't he, as a central midfielder.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Right then, let's move on to Sunday and a fantastic result and performance from the Sky Blues as we travel to Craven Cottage, which was the first time in about 60 years, I think, since we've played Fulham in a league fixture away from home. You know, it was exciting, wasn't it, from the off, really, with the team news. Ross, what was your thoughts?
Oh, well, yeah, it was great to see, obviously, when attacking, you know, Mattson was obviously brought back in. Dabo moved back to the sort of right wing back slot. And obviously, it was one at the top again. But yeah, I think that was an attacking move, you know, to bring Mattson back in, because he's certainly better going forward, I think, than he is defensively. And I think with that system, we've showed at times that if we've got that level of conviction and that intensity and that sort of tempo, that it can be very, very attacking, albeit with the one up top. And so it proved. So yeah, no, I was encouraged by the team sheet. And I guess there was, it was funny, because after we left Forest, we all sort of said, you know, we'll probably go and beat Fulham, you know, as one of those sort of things, you know, Forest, the defeat sort of signaled the end of the playoffs, but we'll probably go and beat Fulham. But at the same time, there was a bit of apprehension, because you're thinking, we've got some tough fixtures here. You don't want it to be one of those seasons which sort of just fizzles out. So yeah, the team sheet came out and I was pretty encouraged to see how we were going to get on.
The one thing that didn't encourage me, I was watching the players come off the coach as one of those early arrivals to the ground. And honestly, every single one walked off with a limp. You know, Dabba, I said in the group chat that Dabba looked ill. I don't think he looked up for it at all. Hamer had his hood up. everyone just looked down in the dumps and just like going through the motions. And I thought to myself, oh no, here we go. I've just paid £37 for this ticket. And, you know, no one looks up for it. And I was, you know, pleasantly surprised as we started the game so well. And there was that real sense of belief, Dave, wasn't there? Not only in the Sky Blue Army, but on the pitch as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely had that feeling again of a London away day, and the crowd was amazing when they threw out. But already at the start of the game, it had that, you know, it's always handy when the sun's shining, everyone's, you know, jolly. And the pressure that we put on Fulham straight away felt to me like how we start again at the CBS, you know, that early pressure. And Fulham weirdly looked panicked, didn't they? They didn't really... couldn't sort of get their lines at all. And that pressure built and built and built. And I think we just, I thought really that we just, it actually, there was a real sense of belief. And I thought, we're in for a game here. We're going to, you know, it's going to be a hard game. But actually, they've took a step back and dropped off and were sort of looked worried about us and runners. And I think, from the early on, it felt like actually, wait, maybe we can get something here.
And it was mad to see, you know, like they couldn't conceivably control the ball or pass to each other. And, you know, Carvalho wasn't even moving into space as he's done all season. He's picking up pockets of space, and we just seem to shut that down. And I think that's a credit to the sort of the setup with how we played. Jamie Allen not only sort of helping, you know, Gyökeres and O'Hare top end of the pitch, but also dropping back to act as like a free in midfield at the same time. So the energy levels he showed to play both parts of that game, I thought was superb.
Yeah, definitely. It was that high energy, wasn't it? And that high press. And we just got out of the traps, didn't we? Really early, put pressure on them. And that makes chances. We've said this so much, that when you have that tempo, that's why we start so well at the CBS. When they have that tempo, teams don't like that. They don't want to be on the ball. It's a bit hot potato. No, don't pass it to me. That sort of feeling, because they're sort of so urgent. And as games go on, obviously that drops off and teams will find their feet. But if that happens early, it does force chances. And they happened yesterday.
I also think that atmosphere kind of helped as well. I don't know what it sounded like on the box, Ross, but you know, the Fulham crowd was nowhere to be heard, shall we say? But the Sky Blue Army was raucous. Did that come over on the airwaves?
Yeah, definitely. No, the Sky Blue Army were the only thing you could hear. You know, I sort of watching it, I suddenly thought it sounded like Fulham had, you know, were doing all four stands, you know, empty like that new one. But no, the Sky Blue Army again, absolutely sensational. And I think it's one of those, like when we've started fast, like you say, David, particularly at home, and we get the crowd up, then the final piece of the jigsaw, because we've responded to the players, and then all you need is the players to respond and punish a team, you know, take the lead. And I think that just cements everything then. And obviously that's what we managed to do on Sunday. So, yeah, no, the Sky Blue Army sounded unbelievable. And again, you know, I sort of get bored of it, you know, all these opposition fans saying how amazing the Sky Blue Army have been. But yes, it was great that we could capitalise on that feel-good factor. And I think we did panic them.
And for once this season, we've sort of made our dominance pay off with that early goal for Michael Rose, Ross, from a corner. I think that's two in two in the pig shirt for him.
Oh, he obviously loves it, doesn't he? The other one was against Reading. He loves it. It was a great free kick. And I think, yeah, Hamer's been threatening sort of more of those. And we corner. Probably should have scored more. Yeah, corner, yeah?
Yeah, it was a corner, yeah.
What did I say?
Free kick.
Free kick.
We did have a lot of free kicks in that first half.
Well, no, to be fair, well,
Deadpool situation.
Deadpool, yeah, that's what I was trying to
say. That covers all areas.
Yeah, no, so obviously it was, I was trying to think, whipped it in, but, you know, he whipped it in from the corner. And yeah, Rose, great gambling at the near post, and he's a great flicked header. And yeah, it's great to sort of actually capitalise, you know, on the dominance. Because like you say, there's been times this season where we haven't, and then we've ended up sort of regretting it. So yeah, it was a great corner, and we probably should have scored more corners this season with the quality of delivery we put in, but it was a great header.
I don't think, never mind this season, I thought we should have scored more yesterday from corners. We were absolutely electric. Hamer's ball yesterday and the delivery was sublime. I think that's probably the period in the first half we had what, six or seven corners, or let's say six or seven dead ball opportunities. And we looked like we were going to score from every single one of them. It was just like they did not know how to deal with it defensively. Okay, all right, just me then. Are you not going to come back on that? Oh, thanks. Cheers, guys. Maybe like a right hit. Brilliant. Okay, let's move on. Gyökeres, a great performance again from Big Vic, a battering ram at the top end of the pitch, and he made it 2-0, Dave.
Yeah, he did. And this is going to sound odd, but I actually think the reason, you know, his goal was almost not lucky, but it had a bit of help, didn't it? And because the keeper just absolutely made a meal of it. But I was thinking about this and thinking, well, why did Vic have such a better game perhaps yesterday than and he always holds it up really well. He always looks to go past people, and we know that. But I honestly think it's because Fulham probably play the game the right way, and the amount of teams that just drag him down or take him out, and we haven't had fouls. And it sounds really stupid to say that, but I can't really remember any like niggly fouls from sort of Fulham yesterday. And that's kind of, it gave him the ability to, you know, we all know what Vic can do. Once he stands up a player and looks to go past him and get a shot away, that's it. You're in trouble. But a lot of teams don't allow him to do that by dragging him to the ground or kicking him or whatever. Fulham didn't do that, but they paid the price because they did allow him to turn, stand up defenders and look to go past people. And that's when he causes so much trouble, because he gets then in behind and he looks to bring other people in. And we know he's not afraid to just keep running with the ball. And once he starts to get into the box, you can't bring him down. So he does cause you problems. And he did the same yesterday. And it was a great, you know, a great finish. And they were shell-shocked. They just didn't know what was happening, and I don't think the Sky Blue Army did.
He had that back four on toast all game, didn't
yeah.
he? It was just so amazing to see, because you're thinking Fulham are going up, Fulham are going to the Premier League, and they're not a team known for investing well when they go to the Premier League, or, you know, whilst they were in there, they didn't invest that well anyway. And you're thinking most of these defensive players are probably going to be playing at Fulham next season. They're going to get absolutely torn apart, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to come up against players that, you know, as much as we love Vic, are going to be, you know, arguably a lot more of an improvement on him, and a lot, you know, a lot more flair. But he just seems to bully people, doesn't he? And he's just this unstoppable juggernaut when he gets rolling, and people don't know what to do. They don't know to bring him down. They don't know whether to just let him keep running and show it. You know, really, you should just show him onto his left, right? But he just doesn't seem to let you do that. And he gave them a torrid time yesterday. And there's a rude awakening coming for when they start to play against, you know, people like Jesus and you know,
who?
Ronaldo and
Jesus.
All sorts.
Is that a Greek international?
Yeah.
From the gods. I think, Ross, you mentioned a few moments back, when Vic wins that first battle, he wins every battle from there on in.
Yeah, well, I think if he starts a game well, I think he's unreal for the game, and the vice versa. If he sort of gets sort of beat in the air, then you sort of think it's going to be a long afternoon. He's going to have to work hard to try and get himself back into the game. And again, yesterday, he wins the first one. And I feel like not only does he sort of win it as in sort of wins a header, but he wins it in terms of he'll control it and then beats him for pace and strength. And you're thinking he's going to have him on toast, like you say, all afternoon. And I think, I mean, how many times have we seen him do that on the left side, cut in and get a shot away? You know, it sort of is sort of trademark position, I think, you know, and so many times this season he's managed to hit efforts from there. And yeah, he was unbelievable. And I actually think, just picking up your point, Dave, about, you know, these sort of sides, which are maybe a bit sort of nicer, you know, sort of play more football rather than the physical attributes he benefits from. I think we benefit from, I think if you look at the
Agreed.
Great results we've had this season, teams who just attack us or sort of a bit more pass, I think we've got that intensity in Hainer. Yeah. We've got that pressing in O'Hare. We've got that sort of power of Gyökeres. And I think, you know, the results speak for themselves, you know, and especially the performances. There's been games where we've absolutely battered other teams like that. And I think we come unstuck against those sort of teams which are a bit more wily, sort of, you know, game management, etc. As Fulham, cute, yeah. So I think
you look at games that we've struggled, where, you know, Reading, for example, away from home, great result, but they just literally flung balls into the box really for 90 minutes, and we don't at the start of the season, we looked like we could deal with that, but we invite that pressure and then we sort of just go in ourselves, don't we? But Fulham weren't really doing that, if that makes sense. These sort of teams that come to try and play through balls, play through you and play around you, rather than just sort of fling it into the box, we deal with that really well. And we won the midfield battle, didn't we, yesterday as well, which was key. They didn't really have anything there that was... They couldn't really create anything from the midfield, I think, because the press, like you said, was so good.
But it's mad, like, when we talk about going up against teams who play the same way as us, I feel like we're better at those departments than those teams we play against. Even though we might have those, you know, A-star players like the likes of Fulham, when we come up against them, we just raise our game another level to match them and even, you know, eclipse them as well.
And that's why we're so close. And I feel like, because when we've shown several times, you know, it's not like we've had one fluke result. How many times this season we've gone, yeah, we're not only have we gone head to head or matched them, we've beat them at their own game. You know, I think we've got the players capable of doing that. And it's just those little games, like you say, the Reading's away, which yes, we won, but there's been games like that where we haven't, Preston away, these sort of games where we sort of have to enter a physical duel. That's what's sort of got us unstuck. And if we can master that part of our game, I think there's a lot to be excited about, because...
Yeah, I think people will question, though, why can the likes of Fulham go to Preston away and win? You know, when we're in the same boat as them, as that, you know, Preston will be cute against the likes of Fulham. It's because of their quality outshines that effectively in that final third. The likes of Mitrovic, Carvalho, Wilson, when they get a chance, they take them. Whereas us, when we get the chances, like we've spoken about, for nigh on the end of this season, when we get the chances, we just don't take them enough, basically.
That's the difference. They've got a goal scorer who scored 38 goals. That's, you know, and they've got the depth, you know.
He's a bit of a fraud, though, isn't he? 38 goals. Who are they against? Not us.
Well, no, they weren't against us. But, I mean, it is funny because, actually, I remember seeing a lot of his goals this season against probably teams like Preston and stuff. And, you know, I mean, they've won 7-0 twice, 6-2 twice. I mean, you know, he's probably got about 10 goals in just those games alone, if not more. Teams just seem to give him so much space. And yeah. I think what we did well in the first game at the CBS was Fads was so tight to him. You know, it's that tight that Fads actually scored an own goal. But he actually didn't give him anything in the game. And I think if you defend him like that, I think you can keep him very quiet, because he's not.
He gets wound up, doesn't he, then?
Massively,
yeah.
He gets
frustrated.
He was thrashing out yesterday. I think Ben Chief had his number all game. Never mind the defensive line. Ben Chief was on him like a rash every single time he had the ball. And then that gives the defence the opportunity to stand there and say, well, if there are going to be runners off Mitrovic and he's already being dealt with, then we can deal with the situation when that arises too. And that's why I think our tactics and the game plan in that first half was absolutely superb, in regards to we all pressed as a team, we all moved forward, Jamie Allen dropped back into the free when it was needed in midfield, and then pushed on, or either him or Hamer pushed on to join the attack with O'Hare and Jokeres when those chances arose. So I think tactically absolutely spot on for Mark Robbins yesterday, and the team bought into it as well, which is, you know, something that's probably not been enough of this season, the team buying into how we want to play, especially away from home.
That was the key, wasn't it? Look, like you said, we went forward as a unit and everyone was a part of the attack yesterday, and when you combine that sort of pressure in the middle of the park and that press and that hurrying to win the ball back, and then it breaks down, and then everyone's going forward as one. Allen, O'Hare, Hamer, and Vic, you know, sort of being on that last man. It's really, really difficult to because you've just got all of these runners coming up against you. So I think that was the harmony between all attacking as a unit, I think, yesterday. And as soon as we got on the ball, everything was positive on the front foot. Whereas at times, you know, yeah, maybe we sort of lack that urgency at times, and that means that we give teams a chance to regroup. But yesterday, we didn't at all.
And the wing-backs as well. Makes a huge difference when they're part of that attack. We've spoke when we had that little dip in form that they didn't seem to be as high up. So, you know, whereas again, yesterday, every time I was watching this attack, they were flying up, and Mattsson, you know, Vic always had that option to his left hand side, someone almost as high as a bit high up as him, and then Dabo again on the right. And I think that is just crucial. We've said it how many times this season on the podcast about the wing backs are absolutely
stretches teams, doesn't it? That's the thing. It gives them another thing to think about. Whereas if it is just Vic on his own, it's very, very difficult. But when you've got that supporting role of the wing backs, and you've got the runners then of O'Hare and even I think Hamer looked more attacking even yesterday than perhaps he's looked in some of the recent games. It's great to see him when he picks up the ball deep and sprays it around, but actually he is actually great in those advancing positions as well. I totally agree with you. Those wing backs are absolutely key. And I think the players themselves, I mean, Mattsson looked like he needed a rest, perhaps, and he's come back, hasn't he? He looked great. And Dabo's found form, I think, back to sort of something like his best. I would still go as far as saying he's probably not 90 minute fit, and to sort of keep up that whole pace for 90 minutes, but he definitely looks a different, you know, different player than he looked sort of maybe at the beginning, midway through the season, where he sort of had a dip off, and Todd Kane obviously came into the fold, and he sort of kept that wing back going alive, didn't he? He had a really good start as well. But all of the games when that hasn't happened, yeah, we've struggled. We've spoke about Bristol City. That was a game Kane and wing backs didn't get forward that much. We struggled, right? I know we won, but we just didn't seem to be creating as much. And they do stretch teams.
I don't like to pick out opposition players, but Harrison Reed in the middle of the park for them yesterday, probably the worst performance from an opposition player I think I've seen all season. And obviously he's touted as being one of the best defensive midfielders in this division. We just didn't give him any time or space to control the game. And, you know, he gave the ball away so many times, and we capitalised or created a chance from those. And that's what the press also gives you, doesn't it? It gives you a chance to let them make mistakes, because that's what football is, basically. You know, the team that creates the less mistakes inevitably wins the game. And, you know, that's something that happened yesterday. We caused them all sorts of issues to make them make mistakes.
Exactly. Forced errors, isn't it? And, you know, you force them into mistakes, and then it's about, you know, good decision making when we pick up the ball. And I've seen us doing it a lot. We did it again on Wednesday against Forest. You will win the ball, and you're sort of charging forward. Then it's the key thing is, can we then make the right passes, you know, and make the right choice? And we, more often than not yesterday, we did. I mean, I was watching it, and the stats were a bit bizarre because we didn't have that much possession, but I felt we did so much when we had the ball. Mm-hmm. I felt like every time we attacked, I thought we're going to create a golden opportunity here. I think we can score. And, you know, again, we scored three goals. And if you be hypercritical, there was a chance in that second half at 2-0 where I'm thinking, we've got to score. You know, we somehow, you know, still that clinical edge away from absolutely demolishing a team.
But there was there definitely was that sort of thought process in the crowd. Definitely that 2-0 wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that's because a team of Fulham's quality are always going to create chances, aren't they? Regardless of how they're playing, they're going to create something, and it's how we deal with that.
100%. I think what also was, as the more chances they had, they hit the bar. They, you know, there was like goal mouth scrambles. I think that just almost encouraged us, like, you know, surged us on even more to say, actually, no, we're not going to get beat today. We're not going to. And it did feel a bit like that. Don't get me wrong. You're watching it and thinking, well, they don't need to create much to get back in the game. But at the same time, you felt it just doesn't feel like it's going to be their day. They're hitting the bar. Mitrovic is having a wobbly. He's throwing toys out the pram. All sorts of things. And it just didn't feel like it was going to be our day, didn't it? Even though that we were under a lot of pressure at times.
All right, then let's talk about him, because I know you're dying to talk about your mate Si Moore. His performance yesterday was absolutely outstanding, Dave.
It was incredible. And the thing for me that Si Moore's given us this season is, I think he gives the centre backs much more confidence than perhaps Wilson or Morosi prior to that. And that allows them to be, you know, push up even further at times. But I think it's just he seems to have those, you know, we say about cat-like reactions, don't we? But he seems to be able to get a hand to something, or and even when he spills something, they're always, you know, pushed away from the goal generally. They're never, like, pushed out at the feet of a striker or an oncoming player. I think he's just, he commands his box well. He gets us on the front foot. He gets us playing. I think, you know, he's been a breath of fresh air really this season. It's something that we needed. I think we've struggled really in terms of the goalkeepers, for like a solid, you know, keeper that we can have a basis now to go forward. But he was just determined not to get beat. And I know he was, but some of the saves that he made and the way that he claimed the ball, he came for it in the air. I think it was a really, really good performance, and that must inspire and give confidence to his you know, his defensive colleagues.
What was, I can't remember, was it for Mitrovic to save down low in the first half, down to his left? I think it might have been a header.
There was that header. I mean, there was a couple, weren't there, that were going across the goal. And you always felt that he was kind of there, and like exactly how I said, you know, he pushed them out wide rather than pushing them back into oncoming players. But he just seems to, he's a very good shot stopper. His distribution is 9 times out of 10 is pretty spot on, I'd say. And you know, it just feels like he commands that box a lot better than perhaps some of the keepers we've had in the past.
That, I mean, you know, maybe a save of the season for me. That first one, one of the headers that down low. I think it was Mitrovic. I'll have to watch back and have a look through. But outstanding. He was on the opposite side of the goal when he got down there. So, like you say, cat-like reflexes. And, you know, it could have been a different story had he not made, you know, a string of saves, especially in that second half, to see out the game. And obviously, we did see out the game with the third goal, Dave, from O'Hare. And this was great to see as well. The press working hard in the 92nd minute, putting Ream under pressure. And obviously, he's got to finish that. Well, for all we said about O'Hare's finishing this year, that's an easy chance for him, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Hamer 2 assists yesterday. And it just showed that him being further forward, again, he made things happen. But they were just at 6 and 7. But they were so... And that's what I mean. They were just so rushed throughout the game and hurried. And it almost had that inevitability that it wasn't going to be their day. Yeah. And it was, I mean, that was circus stuff, wasn't it?
Forced from Fulham, didn't it? During the whole game, like they were just trying to force everything rather than just relaxing and just playing the football as they can.
100%. And as we know, when that happens, the balls are just short or not quite there, are they? And Great bit of you know, composure from Hamer. Still had to cross it and beat a few players. And great to see O'Hare. You know, he does get in the box, and you know, we want to see more from him from that. But it was fantastic, and just, you know, the scenes in the away end were just pandemonium, wasn't it?
Yeah, I woke up with a nice sore jaw this morning. I got a couple of punches, that's for sure, from a couple of lads next to me. And, you know, it was just pandemonium.
I'm sure accidental.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Or maybe they don't like my analysis during the games or something like that. You know, who knows? But it was just chaos, wasn't it? Everywhere you looked, there was just bodies piling up. There was a guy on the left-hand side going down the railings. He couldn't keep himself up. It was absolute chaos in there. And the singing, the chanting, it was just the perfect away day. Sun shining, 3 points. You know, day out in London. Ross, you know, you've missed out, haven't you, really? You've chosen Forest ahead of the Fulham game, and you've missed out, mate.
I have missed out, you know, and obviously I missed out being with, you know, the Sky Blues Extra boys, you know.
It was only me and Dave, to be fair.
Well, you're the
same. Actually, I didn't go with Dave. I went with a rival podcaster.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, well, no, I did miss out. And I think, you know, from watching it, I mean, it's sort of a result that afterwards... And I sort of agree with what Dave was saying. As it was sort of going on, you do get a feeling, you know, that it was going to be our day. And we needed a result like that, I think, because there was a slight concern I had about looking at the fixtures and thinking, could this be the opposite of last season in terms of, you know, last season we finished with a little flurry and probably finished higher than what we probably deserved to, you know, really in terms of we've been battling survival all season, they've finished 16th and it looked quite comfortable. This season we've been top 10, 95% of the season. And my concern was, oh, are we going to like go winless for the last five, six games and suddenly, you know, finish down in 15th?
Just sort of peter out.
Well,
yeah,
exactly. And finish in a position which we would have all took at the start of the season. But then based on how the season's gone, you'd have felt disappointed. So getting that win and going to 59 points, which is four more than we had on the total of last season with five games to go, gives me hope that actually, you know, let's have a really good end to the season. And there's just so much promise. There's so much to be excited about, I think. And I can't wait for... I can't wait for the sort of, you know, the last few games and the summer and the retain list and all this and the transfer rumours to start and see where we can go next season, you know.
Yeah, to the Premier League, mate. Well, that's only six points.
That's if we don't get a Dino tweet going, I'm getting bad vibes from the club. You know,
well, there was bad vibes last year. I won't hesitate to say that. I don't feel bad vibes early in the summer. But, you know,
what vibes are you getting now, Dino? What vibes are you getting now?
Vibes I get at the moment is that... it's not great to say, but at least one of those three players are going to get sold, and that might put us backwards a little bit, depending on obviously how we use those finances in the future. So I don't want to. That's for another day.
It is for another day, but it's going to be a big summer for transfers, isn't it? Because
105 players are out of contract in the Championship. 105 players. So that's a huge amount of people. You know. Talent available to us to try and sign on.
Available for free, you know, and that's why, you know, we've got at least our assets are tied down and we can demand big fees from. There's a lot, like you say, there's some big players at other clubs who are available for free. And I was looking at that list you sent me, Dean, and I was thinking, wow, I mean, could you imagine, you know, being in a position where O'Hare or someone was leaving for free this summer, you know, so at least we're not in that position. So, it is for another day, but it was a great result and it looked amazing. And I hope your jaw's not too sore.
Well, I can't get my words out. See, I can't get my words. My jaw is actually sore. I'm actually struggling to talk today because my jaw is actually hurt. It's really annoying. I was having meetings all day and I couldn't talk the same way I can't talk tonight. But hey ho, we sold you on, don't we? For the love of the podcast, as they say. So it's only 6 points. Oh, sorry, it is still 6 points. You know, it was 6 points last Sunday when we spoke. It's still 6 points for the playoffs now. Obviously, two games less. Is it off now? Is that it? You know, are we running out of games? We'd have to go.
I mean,
it's
not mathematically off, is it? And at the end of the day, you've got to be buoyed by a performance against Fulham. It's just that the amount of times we've said that, and we've got to back that up. It's very, very tight, and we're looking for favours from other teams. But a lot of other teams are struggling around us, and results do seem to be going our way. If we're realistic, we haven't really got a hope, have we? But like Ross said, regardless, I'd rather miss out on by 2 points and finish like 7th or 8th.
Yeah.
But to finish 15th, you know, one place, albeit more points, but one place above where we finished last year. And I agree with Ross, we were probably lucky actually to finish 16th last year. We were in, you know, a relegation sort of battle, I'd say, for majority of it. And it's not mathematically possible, but realistically, we're going to have a lot of favours from other teams. But what we do need to do is go and back up that win away at Birmingham, that have, you know, they're struggling. You know, they might have beat West Brom, but they lost 2-0 to Forest as well at the weekend. They drew with Swansea, which is probably not a terrible result, but Borough drew with Hull. You know, they've not had amazing results. They're kind of in and around that for a reason. And I just think that we've got to go with all of that energy, you know, and everything that comes from an emphatic win and go and give them a good game. And then that really sets up, hopefully, a big clash on the Monday where we'll flood numbers into the CBS, which is probably the most important thing, really, is get people on a bank holiday Monday, you know, get locals back down in front of a big crowd and really take it to Bournemouth, who also haven't been amazing of late, really.
No.
I think a big thing for us, if we can get to that Huddersfield game within a couple of points of them, because they've got an incredibly tough run of fixtures, and we've still got to play, and they've got to play Luton, QPR, Middlesbrough away, which is tough. They've got to play Barnsley, who are going to be fighting for their lives towards the end of the season, and then they hit us. If we could be within touching distance of them, that could be a massive game in the context of the playoff situation. But we've got to win our games until then, because we're still, a way off them.
Yeah, you're bang on. And I always kept saying last few weeks, if we can be, with two games to go, even if we're sort of 4 or 5 points off, and it's sort of very unlikely, but we're still in the picture. Put it this way, if we were fighting relegation and we were 6 points above the drop zone, we wouldn't be counting our chickens. We wouldn't be saying we're safe. We'd be saying it looks like it's going to be fine, but you never know. I think I completely agree, Dave. I think if we can beat Birmingham, we need to. We have to back up this result and then go into that Bournemouth game. And the pressure's going to be all on them, because the media are talking about Forest. Can they get that second spot? They come to town. They're a team who's going to play football. I back our chances. I'm actually more worried about the Birmingham game than the Bournemouth game, the way we've sort of played this season. And then give ourselves a chance, and I think if we can be, the fact that we're here in the 11th of April talking about, 6 points off the playoffs with 5 games to go, it just shows how great a season it is. So if we can just hang in there for a couple, 2 or 3 more games, I think it could be an exciting couple of games towards the end of the season.
Right, hold those thoughts now, because we've got to do the preview after our man of the matches. So hold all thoughts in regards to the next two fixtures for a couple of minutes. Let's go through some man of the matches first. Dave, who was the standout Sky Blue man for you?
I think Gyökeres for me, really. It's a really tough one, because I think everyone to a man was fantastic, and Robbins was full of praise, wasn't he, for everyone that played. But for me, maybe Gyökeres just. But you could give it to anyone, I'd say, really.
Yeah, and let's see who Ross gives it to. Ross?
Yeah, I'd agree with Gyökeres. I think it starts from the front, doesn't it? And I think if he plays well, I think we play well, and he had a great game. So yeah, I agree.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Okay, so you've heard us mention this weekend's action coming up. So action-packed Easter weekend for the Sky Blues. On Friday, Good Friday, we travel to our old tenants in Birmingham for a game at St Andrews at 3 p.m. And then on Monday, Bournemouth come to town, promotion chasing. Cherries will be in action at the CBS against the Sky Blues. Dave, obviously we've had a little chat there about this week, but what are your thoughts overall with the game on Friday versus Birmingham? One to look forward to, a local derby.
Yeah, definitely. One to look forward to, local derby. I think what we've got a slightly reduced, haven't we? What are we taking up there?
They've given us 6 tickets. Twitter rightly, six of Sky Blues fans are allowed to go. Yeah,
presumably they all went to the supporters clubs.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, all to the Leamington supporters club.
But look, it's a game that really we should be winning, I think, on paper. Football's not played on paper, but it is a game that we should be at least taking to them. I'm pretty positive about it, but like Ross mentioned, I'd be more worried about this as a potential banana skin compared to Bournemouth, really, especially if we get numbers up there on the Monday. So I think tricky tie. They've had a few results, but I think really we should be backing up that Fulham, take the same game plan and go from there.
Yeah, it is a tricky one on paper, Ross, but it's that local derby edge, isn't it, against it? But our record at St Andrews, obviously, being there for the last couple of seasons is phenomenal. So can we go there with that little added belief that, we can win in this place?
We should do. There's nothing to fear about this Birmingham side at all. The last 3 times we've played them, they just ended in draws, though.
Yeah.
They've been quite sort of drab affairs.
That's why the sort of the local doubt, even though we've got the better quality and, we're a better team than them for sure. It's the local derby edge, isn't it? That sort of taints
it out
the viewing
a little bit. Yes. I mean, we've got to go there with full belief. And a lot of our players, we know the ground, we've played there, we've had great success there. So there shouldn't be, one of their stands is closed as well. We got out of there at the right time, didn't we?
Yeah. So I found down on us, to be honest.
So there's nothing that there's nothing to be intimidated about. We should go there. That I look at their squad, and Birmingham just remind me of us in the Championship from like 2008 to 2012, you've got one or two players and you just do enough, but it's very underwhelming. And sooner or later, one of these seasons, that they'll go down because they'll gamble one step too far. And they literally just remind me of like us under Coleman and Boothroyd and all of that. So, and Dowie before. So I think they're a poor team, but like you're saying, it's a West Midlands derby, so that'll even up a little bit. But we've just got to go there with the belief we've got nothing to lose, and I think that helped maybe against Fulham. So let's just go there again, play our football, and I back us.
So bizarre that, though, isn't it? Do you not think, though, it's so bizarre that, like, you know, pressure? Because clearly it does look like the players have been playing with a bit of pressure, and people keep saying about that, shackles off. And it's like, well, what pressure, really? You're not going to go down. Yeah. It's crazy. So I'm not sure what the mood is in the camp. It'd be interesting to know, but inevitably, if you're getting that close, I suppose you do start to put pressure on yourself because you think, well, maybe we could just sneak into the playoffs. And then when it seemingly doesn't look on, then it drops off. But there shouldn't really be any pressure because they've totally outperformed what people would have thought this season. You know, isn't it just great that we're not scrapping relegation? This Birmingham game could have been a real right nightmare, right? Of potentially a relegation scrap. So I think we do have to sometimes come back to that and say it really is amazing that we're not scrapping relegation at the moment. And even that's why I wasn't fussed if we did finish 15th, because at the end of the day, it's been a really, really good season. But I agree. It's a bit of a tricky tie, but we've got to show the class.
Well, they would be in a dire situation had it not been for Derby and Reading with those points deductions, because, you know, that'd have been a big scrap at the bottom of the table between themselves, Bristol, Hull, Reading, for that final relegation spot. Obviously, Derby would have been way up in the table without that 21 points. So that goes to show the type of team Birmingham are. They would struggle in a normal season, but obviously it's not the case. Banker of the day, though, Lyle Taylor, obviously joined them in January. Loves a goal against the Sky Blues, so it wouldn't surprise me if he obviously notches against us on Friday as well. So stick that in your accumulator, everybody. That's Dean's tip of the week, Lyle Taylor to score, which obviously isn't great listening, but you know it seems to happen all the time. Conscious of how long we've spoken tonight, so let's push on with some predictions for this one. Let's start with you, David.
Yeah, I do think it might be a draw, 1-1. I'm going to go for.
Okay, and Ross will take yours for the Tweet League this week.
My gut sort of agrees, but you know I'm going to be positive. I'm going to think, come on, let's get the win. Let's go 2-1.
To be fair, you were positive against Fulham. I think you actually said 3-1 as well.
Did I?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you said 3-1.
That
might have been our first full points of the season on the Tweet League as well, because normally we are useless as a collective. I'm not talking, take myself out of it, because I'm doing pretty well, but as a collective, useless on the Tweet League.
Yeah, I'll go 2-1 then. 2-1
so
Sky
2-1
Blues.
For the Sky Blues. Okay, and then let's have a quick chat for the Bournemouth game. So we play them on Monday afternoon. This is a big one for both teams, really. You know, you've already spoken, Ross, about the pressure Forest are putting Bournemouth on for that second automatic position. So they're going to come, and you know, the pressure's on them, really, isn't it? So that might play into our hands.
100%. And as I said earlier, and I think we all spoke about it, when teams come to the CBS and attack and attack and attack, they leave spaces, and I think we're great on that transition, on that counter, finding those spaces with the likes of Hamer and O'Hare and Victor running in the channels. The only thing that slightly worries me with these last few games is just our depth, because the bench, obviously we didn't make a single sub, and we had two goalkeepers on the bench. So that's the only thing that I think ultimately will see us drop a couple of results here or there. But there's nothing to, you know, the pressure's all on them, especially if we can beat Birmingham. It's a big game, and there could be, you know, if we were to beat Birmingham and then get a result against Bournemouth, other teams got to play people, they could drop points, and suddenly, like you say, you could be going into the last three games of the season thinking we're only 4 or 5 points off here, and you never know.
All right, give us a prediction then. It won't be for the Tweet League, but what's your thoughts?
1-1.
Okay, cool. Dave, do you want to give us a prediction for the Tweet League for this one?
He sounded so positive, and then he went 1-1.
Oh, no, yeah.
3-1 for me. I think we're going to win.
Wow. I'll tell you what, I'll take both of those, boys. If we can get both of those in the bag, 6 points, we are back in it, if that is the case.
It all, I think, relies on Friday. I think if we get a result against Birmingham, then that you know, they're going to bring next to nothing support. They ain't going to be loud, are they, Bournemouth, at CBS? I honestly think if we get a result against Birmingham, then that is going to be some day up, you know, on Easter Monday, bank holiday. Let's go up the city for a day out. Sun. I mean, the weather next week is classed, by the way. You're looking at like 18, 19s now. So it's going to be brilliant, isn't it? It's going to be great. Let's hope that if we get a result against Birmingham, I think it'll be a really good game at Bournemouth.
I was trying to go through my limited knowledge of local weathermen to call you there, but I can't think
Michael
of
Fish.
The only person I can think of is the guy. Yeah, Michael Fish. Yeah, the only person I can think of is the guy who fell in the water on this morning when I was very young. So maybe I'll call you him, Michael Fish. Okay. That is a throwback. Let's wrap things up. On this week's pod, thank you very much, chaps, for your thoughts as always. Heading into this week, keep an eye out on all social media channels on Sky Blues Extra for the best pre and post match content. A big thank you to Shortland Horn for their continued support too. And if you've got anything to say, just use the hashtag Sky Blues Extra.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.